Renfro Valley folks, for Sunday, February the 9th. Good morning, folks. Mighty glad to have the pleasure of extending to you greetings from John Laird, the Renfro Valley neighbors and friends and visitors from afar, all gathered here this morning waiting for you, our unseen friends and distant neighbors, to join us by radio, as you've been doing each Sunday morning now for many years. But no matter how long we're on the air, it never grows old to us. There's been no lessening of the thrill we get in knowing that so many thousands of you, better than 3 million in fact, are sitting by your radios waiting to hear us say now, welcome to the Renfro Valley Gathering. Some more freakish weather to report. Real winter with more snow during the past 2 weeks. Last week, we had some folks stop over with us who were on their way from Canada to Florida. They claimed it was colder here in Renfro Valley, that they'd always thought of as the sunny south, than it was in Canada when they left home. And friends write us from down in Florida that it was colder there than it was in Renfro Valley when they passed through. So, all in all, you might say we've had some kindly freakish weather everywhere. Well, now let's get into our opening hymn, which is Kneel at the Cross, with Miss Kit Thompson giving us the chord on the old parlor organ so we can all sing it.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you.
Of their mother, Miss Bess, and the farmer sisters can't be with us this morning, so Miss Kit was kind enough to come out and play the organ for us. Only one person on today's birthday list, rounding out a century of life, Miss Hallie Burton of London, Ontario, Canada, is 100 years old this morning. S.W. Walsworth of Jonesboro, Louisiana, is 95 tomorrow. His wife is 87 today, and they observed their 66th wedding anniversary yesterday. That's quite a sequence of events in one family, but not so remarkable as Mr. and Ms. L.D. Stone of Edmond, Oklahoma, because he's 95 today, she's 82 today, and they've been married 60 years today. That's giving them three important events for the day of February the 9th. Ms. Alice Stedman of Springfield, Ohio, is 93. C.M. St. Clair, Roanoke, Virginia, 93. He's been here to attend the gathering on two different occasions, I remember. Miss Olenia Broussard of Denham Springs, Louisiana, 93. Miss Artemis Brazy of Bayou Labadie of Alabama, 90. Mrs. Mary Elizabeth Revels of Linden, Florida, 90. Miss Elmer Rutherford of Rigo, Indiana, 90. Mr. and Ms. Ansel Hyman, Oakdale, Minnesota, are celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary. Mr. and Ms. Elisha Freeman Burnett of Paris, Kentucky, have been married 62 years. Mr. and Ms. John Bulmer, Overbrook, Kansas, 60. Mr. and Ms. Harve Prince House, Sydney, Ohio, 59. Mr. and Mrs. George S. Stroud, Marengo, Indiana, 58. Mr. and Mrs. Sam Carter, Greenwood, Arkansas, 58. Mr. and Ms. Frank Templin of Eldorado, Kansas, 57. Mr. and Ms. J.C. Birchfield, Anthony, Kansas, 56. Mr. and Ms. John Pearson, Medina, Ohio, 55. Mr. and Ms. Walter Kane, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 55. Mr. and Ms. Carly Johnson, Biggsville, Illinois, 55. Observing Golding wedding anniversaries are Mr. and Ms. Will Sins of Wells, Minnesota, Mr. and Ms. H.A. Butterfield, Cleveland, Ohio, Mr. and Ms. Thomas D. Sparrow, Springfield, Illinois, and Mr. and Ms. Bert Runyon of Dallas, Texas. A lot of Bugle subscriptions expiring this month. Hope to keep them all with us by renewal, though. Don't let the expiration date on your Bugle slip up on you now. By looking at the numbers following your name and address, you can tell when your year is up. Now, we're setting out with the February issue, which will be out on time this month, to make the Bugle a more interesting paper with several new features appearing in the February issue. So don't let your subscription run out. Beginning with February, we'll run a feature story on some old house of historical interest, some remarkable person in this area, or a story of some of the interesting happenings here in the Kentucky Hills, either past or present. Got some pretty colorful characters to draw from, so their stories should make my interesting reading. Subscription price, either new or renewal, is $1 per year. I think you'll agree it's a great big dollar's worth. Now we have with us again, at your request, the Cash Quartet from nearby Ottawa Church Community, and they're here to sing for us this morning.
What a happy time, some glad tomorrow, when the ladies have their burdens down in this lonesome valley.
In this lonesome valley.
No more to roam.
No more to roam.
Having labored on through joy and sorrow, hoping to receive a golden crown. It will all be glory.
It will all be joy
in that sweet home, that happy home, in that beautiful city.
Beautiful city.
All the sweet forever.
Some happy day.
Where the river of life.
Where the river of life
goes ebbing by, we'll look upon the beauty,
look upon the beauty
that fades no never,
fades not away,
and happy we'll be,
and happy we'll be while ages fly, while ages fly.
Many precious loved ones will be waiting just across the river, deep and wide, in this lonesome valley.
In this lonesome valley,
no more to roam,
no more to roam.
Through eternity, no separating. Every heart will then be satisfied. It will all be glory.
It will all be joy in that sweet home, that happy home,
in that beautiful city.
Beautiful city.
All the sweet forever.
Some happy day.
Where the river of life.
Where the river of life
goes ebbing by.
Goes ebbing by.
We'll look upon the beauty.
Look upon the beauty
that fades no never.
Fade not away.
And happy we'll be.
And happy we'll be while ages fly
in that beautiful city.
Beautiful city.
All the sweet forever.
Some happy day.
Where the river of life.
Where the river of life
goes ebbing by.
Goes ebbing by.
We'll look upon the beauty.
Look upon the beauty
that fades no never.
Fade not away.
And happy we'll be.
And happy we'll be while ages fly. While ages fly.
If you remember, we started out a couple of weeks ago with programs dedicated to the folks in different jobs or professions, and then we got kind of sidetracked onto something else. But this morning, we come back in line with a few thoughts for the people who have, for so many years, operated one of the biggest, one of the most important industries in the country, one without which much of our country today might yet remain unsettled and undeveloped. That's the railroads. Not so much about the organizations and the business itself as about the folks who have carried on the varied and dangerous jobs that have made the railroads possible. From the men who in earlier days labored with pick and shovel to make the bed and lay the steel and keep the road in repairs, to the men who daily risk life and limb in the operation of the trains themselves. Now, railroading is hard, dirty work, dangerous work, but there's something romantic about it that makes small boys long for the day when they'll be grown men so they can run an engine or ride in the caboose of a mighty train roaring across the country. That it's a dangerous life, we have many reminders in the folk songs of America, many of which tell of tragic wrecks along the way. Of these many songs and ballads, probably this is about the best known.
On a cold, frosty morning in the month of September, the clouds were hanging low. 97 pulled out from the Washington station like an arrow that shot from a bow. They gave him his orders at Monroe, Virginia, saying, Pete, you are way behind time. It's not 38, but it's whole 97, you must put her in Spencer on time. He turned and looked at his black greasy fireman, said, shovel in a little more coal, for when we cross that white oak mountain, you can see old 97 roll. It's a mighty rough road from Lynchburg to Danville and to Lima. It's a 3-mile grade. It was on this grade that he lost his air brakes, and you see what a jump he made. He was going down grade, making 90 miles an hour, when the whistle began to scream. He was found in a wreck with his hand on the throttle, and was scalded to death with the steam. Now all you ladies must stop and take warning from this time now and on. Never speak harsh words to your true loving husband. He may leave you and never return.
Many of you may remember that that tune came from an old popular song of many years ago called The Ship That Never Returned. And somebody in West Virginia, I believe, wrote the words to it as they've been sung today. Now, in more recent years, the song story of Casey Jones has become best known. But since the version of it made known to the public is kind of a dressed-up vaudeville and stage song, it's not likely to outlast the simpler words and music of the wreck of 097. By the way, I have a picture of that wreck somewhere. If I can find it, I'll try to run it in the Bugle some month, together with the story of the wreck and the song that was written about it. Tell where it came from and who wrote it and so forth. And that song itself has a very interesting story. For that matter, the same can be said of both the story and the song of Casey Jones, and it, too, would make a good Bugle article sometime. In fact, practically all railroad songs about wrecks are true ballads telling an actual story. There were more pleasant things to write about in connection with railroading, but it was only the tragic things that were preserved in folk ballads. That goes way, way back to the very beginning, hundreds of years ago. So railroad wrecks were always a good subject for a song. Not only wrecks, but other fatalities connected with the life and calling of a railroad man. A very good example of this type of song was the earlier Little Red Caboose Behind the Train. Now, somebody, supposedly Bob Miller, wrote the original words and wrote them to the tune of the little old log cabin in the lane, which has served as a musical setting for more American folk songs than any other. But the version you'll hear now is one that I later wrote to fit an actual occurrence near here several years ago.
Bill Jackson was a brakeman on number 51, a member of a Golden Dare crew. An old hard-working railroad boy, but full of life and fun. A finer, braver lad you never knew. His train pulled out of Corbin one wild December night. Outside was ice and snow and sleet and rain. The boys were gathered round the stove where all was warm and bright, in the little red caboose behind the train. Then say a prayer for railroad men when they're out on the run, through the chilly winds and through the driving rain. When they called you out, you never know how soon they'll come back home, in the little red caboose behind the train. At Minden Hall was pulling old 51 that night, an old-time engineer with nerve and skill. He kept his fireman bending down and everything went right, until he lost his brakes on Crooked Hill. Rolling down the mountain, they heard his whistle scream, and what an awful sound that whistle made. The old conductor said to them, boys, you know what that means. We've got to scramble out and set the brakes. Then say a prayer for railroad men when they're out on the run, through the chilly winds and through the driving rain. how soon they'll come back home in the little red caboose behind the train. The running boards were covered with snow and ice and sleet. Bill was the first to hit them on the run. The train went flying round a curve and threw him off his feet. And there before their eyes the deed was done. They saw him sliding over the rocks in boxcar room. They saw him when he took that fatal draw. They clubbed those brakes and tied them down and said a prayer for him as 51 came jolting to a stop. Then say a prayer for railroad men when they're out on the run, through the chilly winds and through the driving rain. When they're called out, you never know how soon they'll come back home in the little red caboose behind the train.
I, for one, have always regretted the way the railroad companies of our country have been kind of shoved around by progress, seemingly. I don't really know much about it, but it just seems to me that they're not now being properly rewarded for what they did for America in the making. Now, I have no brief for the railroads, and certainly nothing against the trucks and buses, but it does seem to me that when we offer one free roads while the other has to build and maintain their own, there's something kind of off balance somewhere. Now, we're forgetting that the railroads made America possible, just as we're likely to forget the part the engineer and the fireman and the brakeman and the conductor have played. Every year, it seems like railroads are pushed a little further back. Every year, more and more railroad men are out of a job, which doesn't seem just right, but maybe it's just the price we pay for progress. As long as there are railroads and railroaders, though, there will be a strong attraction to them in the minds of the common people. The man who hit upon the idea for the old song, Life is Like a Mountain Railway, really put his finger on the pulse of the way folks feel about railroads. Now, here's such a close comparison between the journey of life and the running of a train that the idea of the song kind of struck home. Now, few people know how well-known this old song or old hymn really has become through the years. But you ask any old-timer you meet, and some not so old, and they'll tell you that they have heard and liked very much Life's Railway to Heaven.
From the cradle to the grave, watch the curve that builds a tunnel, never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior, thou will guide us till we reach that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore.
And now, folks, in just a moment, we'll bring you the feature number on today's gathering. But first, we bring you now Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, instrumentally. I think you'll like Russ and Joe Fisher's feature song for today. I know Miss Kate Beeler of Memphis, Tennessee, will like it because she asked for it. And I'm sure her sister, Miss Arthur Ransford of Detroit, Michigan, will, because Miss Beeler has written her to be by our radio this morning to listen to a song that will bring back many treasured memories to both. Memories of their girlhood in a little Mississippi town in a good Christian home where parents and children were so close to each other they enjoyed doing things together. Miss Beeler says that she and her sister enjoyed evenings at home, just sitting around an open fire and chatting with Dad and Mother, listening to the old stories they'd tell of the old days, or else gathering around the old parlor organ to sing the well-remembered songs and learn some of the new ones that came their way. And here's the song that paints this picture for them. Well, it's time now for our closing hymn, so somebody get a hymn book and start looking for one. And while the search is going on, boys, let's have another instrumental number. That's all for this time, folks. Try to be with us again next Sunday for another Renfrew Valley Gathering.